All right, let me run through it rather quickly. You can see it. I know I'm thinking some of us wanted to jump into that panel that was the three the person, the humanity, and the Constitution, and then segue over to the second paragraph of 1 John, but in chapter 2. But I want to show you this and then see if we can take some time doing it. So this is changing things a little bit. We're going to take these panels apart, which we did not do in the time past. And then our primary focus is going to be, and you've seen this before, but getting back into assessing where we are actually at in reference to this particular graphic and this chart, the way it's delineated in reference to Paul's statement of his ministry. And what we want to do is to be able to bring Ezekiel up into each one of these aspects. And so we'd have to unpack them. And so we jump into the unity of the faith. And in the context of that, we'd be asking, what am I to incorporate? What am I to be believing as we see the new covenant fulfilled in the person of Christ? What would be my list of things that by means of seeing the incarnate God present to me his finished work in humanity, what is it that I'm to actually believe has been accomplished for me so that then I can go on to an experiential knowledge of the Son of God in my own person. After that, go into how that would be significant and apply to an attainment of mature manhood, the actual coming into the Sabbath rest, and then how we in turn would be walking from that particular place to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, all understood by means of the person of Christ and in his fulfilling of that promise, how I was cleansed from my idols, how this heart of flesh, I could have one, and what the significance of that is, or the Holy Spirit, or he could cause me to keep his statutes and to do them in the context of the person of Christ, and what then is applicable to me, so that faith has a strong handle on and confidence in coming into a place of maturity. So it's that, these primary panels here. We do then the same thing to this one, where we take the what has been accomplished, my essence core, my I am, my me, my I, in the context of via the person of Christ fulfilled prophecy, how the what that means for my person in the fulfilled side of that prophetic prophecy, his spirit being cleansed, the new heart, all that type of stuff, and we get a handle then on how God has made me a fit vessel. Generally, I know we understand it. Specifically, we've got to have a better handle on it. And then we'd hit the next one and the next one. So, but one of the reasons why I guess I'm seeing that it's essential is that some of us don't quite have a grasp of this particular chart that I've put together here, going from the prophetic new covenant to the fulfilled experiential side on our part, by means of the person of Jesus Christ. What we're talking about really is the coming, the unity of the faith and getting a grasp of what those particular items are, and then the experiential knowledge that I'm in the experience of that particular item in my knowledge of the person of Christ, and I'm experiencing it in me, and I am shy of coming to mature manhood, the perfect man, which is where the Sabbath rest is, and realizing where we are in this in the context of a Christian, and that be able to relate to a mature manhood is something we are in the quest of. And after that, of course, then is the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ as we stand up in the full experience of the divine life. So wanting to put us and know, well, where am I in this obvious education by the Holy Spirit and my experience, so that we don't presume something we don't have And we also recognize all that we do have, which would expedite then a transition moving forward. John comes in right here. Personal experiential knowledge, and up to the particular point where then one can articulate and know that that we are in the experience of the I am, that I've experienced being crucified with Christ, not in one aspect, but in my entire being, and know it for a fact. That's the Sabbath rest. And so wanting to make sure that we have fully established and laid out what the unity of the faith is in its content. So by means of moving ahead, we have to actually slow down. Because I would guess that what we haven't done is, for instance, back up here, I think I have it on the chart. Yeah, each one of these particular items, we have not gone in and pulled out of how the new covenant uttered by Ezekiel prophetically is now fulfilled in the person of Christ, and the Holy Spirit has given me a full understanding of what the unit, what this package of believing faith is in regard to the incarnate God and our being put in Him and so on. Is this making sense? So what we're looking at is tying Hebrews, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, and seeing those particular items, each one of those items, and seeing how they are given to us by means of the person of Christ, which is prophetically fulfilled and scripturally illustrated. All right, I know I said a lot, but that's where I want to start today on this particular panel and then move through several of those, which is going to take us a little bit. Part of the rationale here is in order to jump into the person, you and I, when we get up to that particular one, which is it's coming, to get into these, which is really where we really want to go, is that we have to have a grasp and an understanding of where we get our information from and what they are, and we can articulate them. They're statements in articles of faith, many times found in the Christian church, many times not, because our emphasis is on the experience of that new heart, the experience of being caused by His precious Holy Spirit to keep His judgments, to do them. And then that not being able to be challenged and doubted, but confidently stood upon, not by means of an intellectual, reasonable presentation of putting on the armor of God, for instance, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, but standing in the full confidence that I'm in the experience of His life. We good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I notice one of our participants has an extreme expression of excitement. And you're looking at the same face as I am. Let me get back here so you can understand this graphic to pull it down. Right now it's 27 pages. It's going to end up to be about 40, I think, when we get done. But anyway, so what we want to do is the revealed experiential sources, we want to recap those. And then, of course, we want to do it, continue the deep dive into the second, into the third paragraph of chapter 2 of 1 John, of which, if you recall just what we looked at, might be a bit before we get there. But we're going to look at then, using 1 John, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, Hebrews, laid out in a different format, in a different context, where we look at them together and we take out of, for instance, Hebrews, everything that pertains to the new covenant, and then how it is to be fall into the category of how the unity of the faith and the items that pertain to that, narrowly focused on God speaking to us by His Son. What is He presenting to us in the fulfillment of that new covenant? Where we want to end up is moving ahead in 1 John with no aspect of the new covenant in doubt as far as its fulfillment in my own experience. Okay? Any questions?
Nope.
So what we're going to do, as I gave us a heads up, is we're going to take these epistles and the content in them, depend upon the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding to us pertaining to the fulfilled new covenant in the person of Christ, and then how it's applied to us in these categories of that we hit before in this chart, which I've given to you before, but and I actually have found nobody who's actually utilized it. So again, we want to look at these specifically, and each one of us should be able to confidently know what is contained in the unity of the faith, and what does he mean by the experiential knowledge of the person of Christ. What does it mean to be to come into the to a mature manhood, and then to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? So that's as far as we got on that one. I'm sure you're quite happy about that. That's if you download this PDF, you just click it in the PDF, and you'll find it up there. All right. If you need this one, this is on a PDF that you've had before. There's a link right on the page. And right here. And that will take you to that PDF that's on the website. All right. But again, caveat here is I don't think anybody really spent too much time on that. And so I'm going to force us to do that as a group. And I won't apologize for that. All right, so let's run through this rather quickly. The chart's made out a little, well, you saw it before, but differently in the sense of, from Galatians, we know that the Father's qualified us. Over on the left-hand side in the vertical column under prophetic foundational sources in the Old Testament, all we did here is list out the specific parts of the new covenant And that God explained to us well ahead of time that this is what I'm going to do to you in order to make you my people that I'm happy with and that I will manifest my life in and through you. So we have this list. But the list then in Old Testament terms translates into the New Testament in the context of fellowship with the person of Christ. He's the fulfillment of it. We participate in it with and in him. And the challenge to us to come to a place of Sabbath rest is a recognition of what he's done to us, and not the opportunity, but the inevitability as we walk with God, that we are going to experience the actual life of God in us. And then all the stuff that comes with that. The experience of that is expedited, is hurried on when a brother or sister then goes after the Holy Spirit and engages the Holy Spirit to bring wisdom and understanding and knowledge and instruction to who and what we are, what am I to believe, how was it accomplished, how have you removed my doubts and my fears and my and how have you taken care of my inordinates and all, what have you done to my person and my humanity, my constitution, all of that comes by revelation from the Holy Spirit, but he demands due diligence on our part to get an understanding of that. He works with us. Some of us categorize that as growth, rather in increments and or in big movements and in big events and so on. But the reality is he's anxious and ready to do that in an instant if we give ourselves to the task. And so what we've agreed to do as a group is to give ourselves to that task. First part of that is to actually understand in Paul's statement in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 13, is his whole effort in life is spent in wanting to bring the brothers and sisters and his efforts to bring this us to a unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In Colossians, he sums it up to every man mature in Christ. And it starts with a grasp and understanding of what we are to believe. If we opt to Hebrews and we recall the reprimand and the exhortation, that what kept the brothers and sisters out of the Sabbath rest, out of the promised land, was unbelief. Our question then is, what am I to be believing? We can generally say, I'm to believe Christ is my life. Well, that's fine. But when the events of any given day come along, and a blanket cliche statement that Christ is my life, and you're going to stand upon that, the actual education comes by the Holy Spirit, that he'll push us right to the edge to know, what are you believing Christ is your life as or for? What's that mean? What is this participation? How is it that my life can come out of you if you don't know what you're talking about? Where is he giving us information? We've got five epistles across the bottom of the page there. So we want to unfold these four areas and get a grasp and understanding of them as they pertain to the Sabbath rest. The first one, faith, on this page, I'll just read the headers. Is everybody comfortable with the quotes here? You can look them up, but just in reference to how we got over to this part of the right column on the page there, Paul's ministry. The unity of faith is a grasp. You could call it a package, but it's really the person of Christ and what God speaks to us and says to us in his Son and giving us his entire person. Is it's the full revelation of the ministry in an understanding and grasp of that. And then the experiential, at this point we'd have to say what? Possibility? Because there's aspects of the experience of this life, of this person, and that we aren't privy to or haven't experienced. There's aspects in grasping and understanding of the full presentation to us of the incarnate God and the person of Christ that we have never spent time contemplating. And there's much of that that has to be done in initially just the unity of the faith. Before I can go on to an experiential aspect of what that is, we have scriptures that indicate to us what they are to be. And so we have warnings, I suppose we could say, that come out of the Epistle of Hebrews here, the next two lines, unable to enter because of unbelief. One would assume, without too much study, that the author of Hebrews was referencing the Old Testament saints. They knew what they were to believe, and they didn't believe it. And we can spend time analyzing that, and we have as a group in reference to the study of Hebrews. But who enters the Sabbath rest? Several paragraphs after that explanation in Hebrews of what the sin of disobedience is unbelief. We who have believed do enter that rest. And if we would sit here and say right now that, well, I may not be in the Sabbath rest, I want to get in there, whatever it is, and so on, it's pretty apparent that there's something I have to believe to enter it. And so we're going to do everything we can to push the Holy Spirit to bring us to an actual understandable grasp, divinely revealed to us, of what it is that I might enter or that we might enter. The second one then is the personal experiential knowledge. I know the person of Christ and him is my life in what context, in how many different ways. And so each one of us would have a testimony of certain aspects of that. These first two really are given to us out of the gate. If you'd look at how Ephesians or Paul and his writings, or how John or how the author of Hebrews and so on present to us that we're already Christian people because of certain things, but yet there's something more that we need to go after with all our hearts, whether it's defined as maturity or the Sabbath rest, or a full confident grasp and understanding in our experience that we have eternal life and who it is that lives within us, as John does. And so there, I want to call them two stages. but it's coming to a place of maturity in the one that we're in fellowship with. And so if we would look where we fall into that, we fall into the first two categories. Unity of the faith, and we would be able to articulate certain things that we believe with confidence. I know because I know Jesus Christ. Simple things like somehow I have the forgiveness of my sins and his blood was sufficient. And we can trace those back then to the new covenant in Ezekiel. That in order to have something, in order for me to be cleansed, something had to happen to me. And we can say, well, he says he washed me and so on. But we know exactly how he had to wash us. We had to be crucified with Christ. We had to be put into the tomb and all that type of thing. Cleansing didn't come from, as the Old Testament sacrificial system was practiced, by an external washing. Something had to happen to our persons and to our constitutions and to our humanity and so on. And so we all know aspects of the unity of the faith, but there's much more we need to pull out of these epistles. And then the experiential knowledge of this person, each one of us would have a part of a testimony about this knowledge of this person. And we could take time now if you'd like, and we could look at that. We might suggest some of them. What might be an experiential testimony that you or I have that really comes with just becoming a Christian person? And you can use John, you can use whichever epistle you want, you can use your own experience. And we're not talking about doctrinal statements of faith and or this body of believers believes these items. Those come from, hopefully, the scriptures. What we're talking about is a witness testimony that I know God lives because. So, for instance, the third paragraph of second chapter of 1 John, John talks about these things. And he's soliciting a mutual agreement that we're in the experience of them because we have life. And we know when we got life, in retrospect. We know when our sins were forgiven, and a testimony that given to us in Christ Jesus, that we have the forgiveness of our sins and the experience of that goes back to this new covenant articulated by Ezekiel. I'm clean is what the forgiveness of my sins, the peace we have. I have experienced that I'm right in God's eyes. He's happy with me. I've experienced righteousness, as John would say it. Back here in Ezekiel, we put that into terms that I've been cleansed. And then in how it was done and so on. So I'm just assuming we all would testify to the reality of that. So it's personal experiential knowledge. But yet we fall shy of a testimony of the Sabbath rest experience in the sense, in the context of that. But John builds on those. So that's third paragraph in chapter 2 of 1 John. That first one of the no's is an experiential recognition of what aspect of being a full participant in the new covenant or participating in the life of Christ. Just to mind, we covered it enough. We know him because why?
We keep his commandments.
We keep his commandments. Take that back, Joffe, to Ezekiel over here.
Cause you to walk in my statutes.
Yeah.
Ordinances.
And so we look to Jesus Christ. And we see externally, all of us would agree, just theologically, if he's God incarnate, he keeps his own commandments, because whatever he does is his commandments, his life manifest. And then if I'm supposed to be having that life, I'm in participation with him, this life manifest, and so on, that life resides in me, John solicits coming out of us then a recognition. I'm in the experience of knowing God. Evidence is I keep his commandments. I just keep his commandments. And so a personal experiential knowledge, and John, of course, will be building on that. That's an aspect then of the unity of the faith. If we go back on how we might articulate it, unity of faith, part of that is if we'd use John's terms, as he is, so am I in this world. I know, and he said himself, he was always obedient to the Father. He always kept his commandments. As a matter of fact, he'd go so far as to say, it's the Father who does these works in me. And so on. And we then in turn have come to a personal awareness and knowledge of the residence of this person, evidenced by my keeping his commandments. So I'm just trying to point those out. We're going to dig deeper into that. And so on. When we get to mature manhood or a perfect man, depending upon our version of scriptures we're using, that is the Sabbath rest maturity we're talking about. The recognition experientially that indeed I have been perfected. I am complete in my entirety. There's nothing more in the context of I knew it was part of the faith and I experienced aspects of it. And then the consummate experience is, of course, the place of complete rest. And oh, I do see there's nothing more for you to do inside of me in relationship to the residency of your life and my experience in this fellowship. Part of that then can be described, as Paul does in Galatians 2:20, in the realization that I literally have been crucified with Christ. Not theologically, not doctrinally, not a statement of belief, but experiential awareness communicated by the Holy Spirit. And then an aspect of that, of course, is a recognition that I'm actually experiencing the life of God. Not unrestricted. All doubts, all fears, all ignorance has been removed in reference to the personal experience of the knowledge of this person. I don't know how to say it. How do you describe a man-woman relationship in the sense of a knowing of each other that is unique? There's a knowledge, personal knowledge of knowing one another, Jesus and I, and Jesus and you, in residence. And then a place of a confident unshakability that it is so and always will be. So that. And then the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ it can be simultaneous, but it can follow also I suppose you could say a short little walk in the sense of now I'm standing up in who and what I am, full experience of that life. All right, so that's where we want to go one by one. Any questions? That was quick.
Thank you.
Nope. I don't know the young lady's name here. Did you have a question, Jaffe?
No, good. We're fine.
All right. And then, of course, just in reference to the chart, pointing out where we are. And I did this purposely to try to eliminate some confusion in the sense of what is it that we're actually looking for? What is John looking for in leading us through a recognition of the experience of his life paragraph by paragraph that will in turn get me to the freedom to stand up in all the fullness of the Godhead bodily and know that for a fact. And of course, so just recognition that we're aiming at this one. The Holy Spirit's inevitable, whether we want to go or not, as long as you remain Christians, the Holy Spirit's going to drag us kicking and screaming. And if we read the epistles enough, we'll see the apostles are going to kick us enough times to make us focus upon it. So then we get to this. So how would we unpack this, actually? How would we look at the unity of the faith, go back to Ezekiel, and see Ezekiel fulfilled in the incarnate God-man, and then follow the Holy Spirit's track that, listen, folks, God now speaks to you by his Son, and recognize that it's the full revelation of the life of God in a human being that he's unfolding to us as he lifts us up and gives us an encouragement to accept, you know, with a full heart of belief that it is so in us as we have received him as our Savior. So what's necessary that the Hebrews unfolds, and he unfolds it in teaching and in doctrine, exhortation, and then in unfolds it in a motivational kick in the pants, where on the other extreme we have St. John over here that unfolds it with the assumption that we know those things, but primary, recognizing what the Holy Spirit's doing in us and bringing to a place of letting all the things that would hinder that go and fall into full acceptance that indeed he's our life. So that's the experience side. And Hebrews primarily, of course, we look at through the teaching of the unfolding of the so great high priest, everything from life eternal to he tasted death and all that. But it's primarily on a, not on the experiential side as John unfolds. All right, the unity of the faith. Then we jump back over here on the right, on the left side. Is this on the left side? It's got to be on the left side of the screen. And then and take these, bring them through Jesus Christ, put them into New Testament texts, New Testament phrases, New Testament, and then pull our text from the epistles that we see across the bottom of the page there. You guys understand what we want to do?
Let's see.
Okay. Yeah, Hebrews is actually pretty easy when we come to do this. But basically, unity of the faith. What am I to believe about the God-man? What is God telling me about me? What's he telling me about me? So in the context of what he said needed to be done to me prophetically in order for him to not only sanctify himself, but make his sanctuary manifest to the entire created order to the joy of God's own heart, we could put that in terms of he joyfully wants to express his life in and through his house. But in Ezekiel terms, these are the things that were essential and necessary. These are the things that we actually need to have a confident belief and exercise in our faith in the person of Christ, that this has all been done so that then, and I'm coming into the experience of these and so on. So if that